Good evening, class. Well, we're coming out of chapter 11 in your book, The Measure of Obeying Delegated Authority. In this lesson here, we're gonna see two different, we're gonna see another side of obedience and another side of being submissive to authority. That's one point we got to look at that subject to those whom God has told us to obey. But on the other hand, we got to deal with the understanding that there's some authority we need not obey. And it's not classified as rebellion, because we're going to find out that anytime authorities go against the plan of God, the word of God, the will of God, then we're not obligated to submit or obey. And we're going to find certain scriptures here that we're about to read in a few minutes that are going to prove that point. Because God don't want us just to be puppets and people will take us out of the will of God. Authorities will. And we're not subject to all authorities. Even though we're going to look at the book of Romans, it talks about the authority we ought to subject ourselves to. But we got to define that God's ordained authority. Those that God has designed us to be in authority to. And we're going to find out we could still be submissive, but we don't have to be obedient in some areas. I know it sounds like we're going back and forth, but we're going to define submissiveness or submission. And we with the word obedience or obeying, and we're going to find out that's going to be a difference in it when it comes to biblical understanding and spiritual revelation. And we have to understand it. See, you have to deal with both sides of the coin, because if you deal with one side of the coin, then Satan going to misuse us, misuse the church, because thinking you out of submission or out of obedience when you don't submit to everybody in authority. No, not so. So without further ado, let's begin reading those scriptures that's going to deal with us or help us to understand these certain criteria that we're not obligated to. The measure of obedience, the measure of obeying delegated authority. By faith, we're looking at Hebrews 11 and 23. This is one of the Bible instances here. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a godly child. And they were not afraid, listen to this, of the king's commandment. Well, I thought you're supposed to obey all the king's command. If it lines up with God's will, you should. Because they were not afraid to obey the king's command. Now, look over in Exodus 1 and 17. I'm going to keep reading, because if you're coming out of your book, you can follow me without having to look for it. It said, but the midwives feared God and did not ask king. Let me read it again. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Exodus 1 and 17. That's another instance of God's children going against seemingly authority. Now, looking at Daniel 3, 17 to 18. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Another instance seems like they're going against the king's order, you know, to bow before the false god that he had, that King Nebuchadnezzar had built. This thing was 9 foot tall, and 9 foot wide, a huge statue that he had built as a god, and he wanted them to serve this thing, to bow down every time he gave a command. And this is Daniel 6 and 10, another instance. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now his window were open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and he did as he did aforetime. Well, we know the story about Daniel. Daniel would put head over all the provinces of the king. And so, because the other administrators envied Daniel, they tried to find a way to bring him down, because he was going too high for them. Matter of fact, he was being put over all of the provinces of the kingdom. And so they tried to find fault. The only fault they could have found was that in Daniel, God that he served. And they knew that certain rules that Daniel wasn't going to break to follow his God. And so they made up this, they plotted this scheme, and the scheme seemed like it worked, because they went and told the king. They said, "King, Daniel prayed 3 times a day to his God, and he will not bow and worship your God." He will not. So the king, Darius, gave Daniel another opportunity. And Daniel said, "Well," he says, "King, I can't bow down before your God." You know, and so the king said, "Well, I don't have a choice. We got to throw you into the lion's den, into the pit with the lion." And so Daniel said, "Be so as it will. But my God is going to deliver me out of the lion's den." And so the point is, Daniel did not bow before the king's statue. He disregarded the king. Well, you would say, that Daniel was a disobedient servant. No, there's no God higher than God. And just thou should not serve any God besides our God. And so God outranked every authority, because all authority belongs to God. And without God, there's no authority at all. So you have to come to understanding that. Satan would love to us to not to understand this, so he can take us and cause us to function mechanically and think we're doing the will of God. Now, one more instant, two more instant. Now, when they were departed, this coming out of Matthew 2 and 13, when Joseph refused the king's order, and he fled from the king with his wife Mary concerning Jesus, the child Jesus. Now, when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt." Well, you would think the angel would be in disobedience too, to cause Joseph to come against one of the king's command. But no, there's a spiritual order. And all the heavenly beings are subject unto God. All God's angels and all God's servants are subject to his order, and any other order should not be obeyed. And that needs to be known. And be thou there. Well, let me start over. Now, when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, be thou there until I tell thee. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Matthew 2:13. And one more. And we're gonna go into the note taking or the points that we need to bring out in this class. But Peter, you understand this, when Peter and an apostle were being persecuted for preaching the name of Jesus, and they didn't want them to preach anymore, and so they had them arrested. And so they bring them before the Sanhedrin council. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men." He proclaimed, even though this Sanhedrin council was servants of God, directly and indirectly, but yet God would not let Peter and the apostle submit to them because they were not in alignment with the will of God. Even though they were Jews and God's chosen, yet they weren't in alignment to God's perfect will and God planned what God was doing at this time. So Peter and the disciples and the other apostle had to disregard them and went and preached anyway. An angel came and let them out of the prison. They came looking for them. They were in the temple preaching the gospel again, teaching the people. And they had them arrested again. And then that's when Peter proclaimed, we will obey God rather than men. Well, that was a separation. That was a separation in obedience and submission right there. Because Peter recognized that was a higher authority than they proclaim authority. They thought their authority ruled and men had to bow down to every word they said. But if every word they say doesn't align with what God said, then they have no authority from God. And so Peter, by the Holy Ghost, recognized that. And he decided that he was going to preach the gospel. And they kept on preaching, despite of what they said. Gamaliel was a wise man. He said, be careful what you do to these men. He said, he started reminding them what happened to these people ahead of time and how certain things came to naught. He said, if this be not of God, it shall surely come to naught. But it is of God. Who can overthrow it? No man can overthrow it. So this Gamaliel was a wise man. And so they put them forth. And so they flogged them or whipped them and told them not to preach no more. But they rejoiced knowing that they were suffering for the Lord. My goodness. My goodness, when you know the will of God, and when you know what God's plan is, and you have no problem knowing who to obey and who to disobey. I have instances in my own life. Years ago, when I worked at the chemical plant, I worked at the chemical plant for 20 years of my life. And in the process of it, I was serving under a pastor, but I wasn't full time yet. I was still on the clock. I was still under another man rule, another man time clock. And it was a Wednesday night. The pastor was out of town. Those were the days when he would travel, Brother Hagin meeting. And so I would remain in. And so this Wednesday night, I had to teach Bible study. So lo and behold, the plant comes down. The plant shuts down. Not working in the maintenance department. When machinery break, the maintenance had to go in and repair so the plant can come back up. But the plant came down. And so I go to my supervisor. I said, I know the plan is down, but I said, I got to preach tonight. I got to teach Bible study. He said, oh, Ron, we can't let you go tonight. You can't let you go tonight. But I know the will of God was there. And I know what God's plan is for me. And I know if apostle put me If he assigned me, got it. If he assigned me to this assignment, and I believe that God led him to do that to me, then God would make it available to me. And so the superintendent comes in. And I look at superintendent. I said, look, I said, I know the plan's down, but I got to go pre-bobster tonight. He said, okay, go ahead, see you later. Well, was it wrong for me to override my supervisor and go to his boss? No, it wasn't wrong. I can be obedient. I mean, I can be submissive, but yet not obey my supervisor. I was in a submissive spirit because that we're going to find in the lesson that I didn't squabble, I didn't fuss, I didn't cuss, I didn't do anything. I didn't rebel in my heart. I had no rebellion in my heart. I wasn't angry. I just knew I had to find a way to do the will of God. So I was still in submission to my boss. But I couldn't obey him. That's the point I was trying to tell you. It's a hairy line, but when you learn to live in the spirit, you know, you can understand the differences in the two. And so I know I wasn't locked down to his decision. I know I had to find another route to go to obey God. And just so the superintendent, he had no problem with me going. And so I just dismissed myself and went and preached the gospel. So there's other instances that we can talk about, you know, but we're speaking to look at this parenting thing. Now, watch this now. Watch this. Now, he said, if parents should refuse to let their children gather with the saints or follow after God, do things according to God's will and God's plan. You know, sometimes parents are saved and still don't understand the will of God. And sometimes they're unsaved and definitely don't understand the will of God. They can be saved and ignorant of God's leading and God's doing. Now, the children must maintain an attitude of submission, and that's what I was trying to get across to you, though they may not necessarily obey. You see it? You see it? And that's where the hairy line comes in. Because, oh my God, we obey your parents in the Lord, the scripture says, for this is right. Yes, it's right when the parents are aligned with God. But when the parents are not aligned with God, then that should not have to be obedient, and you shouldn't have to be in condemnation. You see, you still want to submit, but that's not necessarily disobedience there. And you know, God will work this thing out. God will smooth this thing out. You see it? Now, I got another example for you. Years ago, my father had been going home to be with the Lord, but I think he was a Christian man. I believe he's in heaven, in glory with God. But this particular time, you know, you got carnal Christian. And at this time, carnal Christians still like to do things, sometimes like the world system. Well, to make the long story short, I was about to go to the grocery store. And I stopped by my dad's house. You know, he's old in age, you know. And I said, Dad, I said, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you need me to pick up anything? It was around the Christmas season, holiday season. He said, yeah, son, pick me up a fifth or something, some alcoholic liquor you want me to pick me up a fifth or something. I forget what it was, but nevertheless, I said, Dad, I can't do that. I said, I don't buy alcoholic beverages. I said, I preach the gospel. Boy, you're gonna laugh when I tell you what he said. He said, boy, ain't nobody know you a preacher. I did not disobey, I wasn't ugly, I said, yeah, God, you know I'm a minister of the gospel. You see, Jesus said a prophet had no honor in his own home, and I understood that. But at the same time, I wouldn't get it, and I took a stand for God, and I did not obey him. I would not buy his alcoholic beverage. He got a little upset. But you know, later on down the line, he came in a roundabout way and apologized to me because, you know, I took a stand for what I believe, what is right, and you got to hold fast. You got to hold fast to your conviction. You see, a mother, father, sister, brother, I'm going to hold fast to my conviction, to the word of God, and to walking with God. I don't care who it is, Claire. I'm going to walk in my conviction. You see, and that was a big test for me. That was hard for me to go against my father. I think that time you were around 90 years old. But he said, I'm going to buy that for when company come, I can have something to offer him. You know, he didn't say he was going. You know, I just couldn't go along with that. You know, but anyway, I wasn't in a rebellious spirit. I didn't rebel against my father. I left with still all the fullness of respect for my father. Never changed my attitude toward my father. You know, I still love my father the same. I just understood he didn't understand. Well, my walk with God was in another level, another realm, another dimension. You see it? And so he didn't quite understand that. So I had to go through that and learn that early. So I knew that I couldn't be condemned for disobeying my father, but I still had a submissive spirit. Are you with me? All right, Claire, because that's very important. And you have to understand that. See, we're talking about things in the spirit. We're not talking about natural obedience. We're not talking about natural submission. The world cannot obey. They don't know how to obey. See, because this is a spiritual connotation here. We're talking about spiritually. We're talking about yielding spiritually. And oh my goodness, when you understand it, it becomes easy because you don't even have to think about it. You just know in your knower what to do and what not to do. It become a second nature to you, when to obey, when not to obey. I didn't even have to think about it. I didn't know, without a shadow of a doubt, I can't obey that. I can't do that. And still not being rebellious when it comes to certain authority. Are you with me, Clad? So this is a good lesson because sometimes people think when you learn the lesson of obedience, my God, you become a robot for everybody. And you got to obey everything and everything. You see it? Sometimes people get under some cult religion, and they don't even understand. Christians are kind of lured into certain things, and they think sometimes these religious leaders are God, and they got to obey everything they say. No, my God, no, no. Follow conviction. All right. Now, hope that helped you a little bit. This is similar to the way the apostle responded to the Jewish council when they were forbidden by the council to preach the gospel. They kept a submissive spirit throughout the trial. Even so, they continued on with the Lord's commission. They did not obey. They did not disobey with quarrel and shouting. They only quietly and softly dissented, or decided not to obey, or disagreed with their decision not to preach the gospel. There absolutely should neither be a word of slander nor an attitude of insubordination toward the governing authority. Now you have to come to a level of maturity in spiritual things to understand these things here. You see it? One who knows authority will be soft and tender. Listen to this. He will be absolute in his submission, bold in his heart, and in his attitude, and in his word. See, that's the separation. That's the separation that the Christian has to come to understand in spiritual authority. You see it? God becomes your defense when you're challenged in a position where you seem like you're confronted and it seems like it's so close to understanding where or what you should do or the decision you should make, but yet there's a defining line that defines the Spirit of God from the spirit of deception when it comes to discerning spiritual things. And you have to understand this, class. You got to know You got to know your God and know the Holy Spirit and know the Word of God to understand these things. See, it's the natural men can't understand what we're talking about here. Because what we're talking about is not natural. It's supernatural understanding that we're dealing with here. And sometimes when you're dealing with supernatural understanding, the world will not understand. And they'll think we're confused. No, we're not confused. We know exactly what we're doing. We're walking with the Spirit of God. Now here's some points here. Here's some points that we need to know to define yourself here and to understand obedience and to understand when you're crossing the line not obeying. You see? Now, listen to this. Obedience is related to conduct. Well, I always put it like this. You can be obedient in your action, that's conduct, but you can be rebellious at heart. Now, what does that mean? That means, you see, when you come to this point of obedience, it seems similar to submission. But submission and obedience are different. That's why I say, on this part, obedience is an action. It sure look good. It sure look good what he's doing. You know, oh, he obeying his spiritual leader. You know, whatever his leader tells him to do, he does it. Or it don't have to be a spiritual leader. Or a child to his father. You know, the father tell the son, go put the garbage out. And it seemed like, Andy, I'm going to call him Andy. Andy never seemed to grumble. He just take the garbage can, bring it out to the dumpster or the bin, and dump the garbage. But the father seemed to call Andy all the time. But this particular time, Andy seemed to have problem with putting the garbage out. Yet Andy go through the process. He take the garbage can like he normally do and grab it because his father says so and heads out to the garbage bin. But this particular time, Andy got problems in his heart. He's grumbling. He said, every time we got to put the garbage out, Dad called me all the time. He had twin brother Randy. What's wrong with Randy? Why Randy never have to put the garbage out? He's saying this to himself. And the whole while, he's going to the dumpster or the canister to dump the garbage can in. He's grumbling within his heart, but it seems like he's inobedient because his action still got the garbage can, still headed to the dumpster or the canister to put the garbage in. Well, his father doesn't detect anything because he seemed like his action all right. He seemed like he's obedient to his command, put the garbage out. But Andy here is fussing and grumbling and cussing in his heart. I don't know why I always got to be the one to put the garbage out. And his heart is messed up. You see it? So he obeyed in action, but he's not submitted in his heart. You see it? So I like to call the scripture over in I think it's in, I'm trying to think of the scripture. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You all know the scripture. I'm trying to think of the chapter or the book and the verse. But I like to call it willing obedience. You see it? So when you put willing obedience, you put submission in it. Because you can be obedient, you see, but not willing. And that's what Andy, my character Andy, was doing. He was obedient, but he wasn't willing this particular time. His heart was against it. So sometimes when you're dealing with submission and up to authority, you know, it may look good in action, but you can be rebellious at heart. Class, I hope I say it plain enough for you to understand. You can be obedient in action, but you can be rebellious in your heart. And that's what Satan loves. He loves. because you can hide. You can hide yourself among the crowd. And people look at you, oh, that's an obedient child. Oh, but you just don't know on the inside. Oh, he's on the inside. He's a tornado twisting on the inside. Destructive on the inside, hard, messed up on the inside. He's not submissive. And really, he's in rebellion on the inside. All right, class? Hope I said enough to get you to understand that. So we should understand that. We should understand that. So I'm going to say this statement one more time. Oh, my time is winding down. It says, obedience is related to conduct. It is relative, you see it? Submission is related to heart attitude. It is absolute. You see? Submission is a heart attitude and it's absolute. And absolute means it's definite. You see it? It's the definite thing, or is the core of what we're talking about. Absolute. Somebody, it's absolutely correct. I can't put it no other way, class. I tried to find it, but that's all I got. Now, God alone receives unqualified obedience without measure. You see, and we're talking about the measure of obeying authority. God alone is qualified to receive unqualified obedience. You see, because God the only one that's always right all the time. God the only one always perfect all the time. God the only one always holy, always God. So he's the only one to receive unqualified obedience. Are you with me? Because God is the only perfect one. Every other person is imperfect, make mistakes, shortcoming. I like to see how Apostle Paul says it, and how apostles say it. Apostles talk about weaknesses and infirmities. We have infirmities, weaknesses. We're not perfect beings, shortcoming. We might not give the right order all the time. Sometimes we might think we're following God and not perfect in all our leading sometimes. So God, the only qualified person to receive unqualified obedience. I hope that makes sense, class. That's the best I can say it. All right? Now, any person lower than God can only receive qualified obedience. See, God receives it without measure, but men conceive it with measure. Unqualified obedience to God and qualified obedience to man. You see it. Should the delegate authority issue an order clearly contradicting God's command, he would be given submission, but not obedience. And that's what the council was doing. They were the delegate authority, and they issued an order to Peter and the apostle, but they could only be given submission, but not obedience. See, submission was the heart attitude. The heart attitude never transgressed God. They kept a submissive heart, but they couldn't outwardly obey or follow those orders that were given to them by the council, because those orders did not justify God's plan. Are you with me, class? I hope you see this, because this is so important. I'm just taking my time. It's so important that we understand this, because this is a revelation we're talking about here. This is important that you understand it. Now, let me go on a little bit more. We shall submit to the person who has received delegated authority from God, but we shall disobey the order which offends God. And that's exactly what we're saying. You see, we can't follow the order that offends God, even though they're delegated authority from God. Sometimes the order may be subject to approval by God. Are you with me? And that's why you got to have a keenness of spirit. That's why you have to know the will of God, the word of God, the will of God, the word of God, and the plan of God. That's why you got to know the will of God, the word of God, and the plan of God, so you will not be deceived by authorities. Are you with me, Claire? But thank God, the scripture said, know them that labor among you. And thank God, our apostle, and that's why there's not many true apostles, but our apostle Thompson have a proven track record of following God. And I've come to the place, Claire, over the years, that I trust him with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, that I can follow him blindly, per se, in the spirit, because of his accuracy in the spirit over the years. You see, a proven track record. Proven track record. God trusts him. If God trusts him, I trust him. Are you with me, Claire? And that's why this ministry is what it is today, because it's unending devotion to God. It's unending hunger for God. Now, who I'm talking about? I'm talking about our apostle. His unending love for God keeps him in constant communion with God and allow him to be qualified to be subject to. What you mean? I'm subject to my apostle. I'm submitted to my apostle. And over the years, he's never given me an order that was wrong. Always seemed to line up with what God said and what God was doing. And so he's become one of the greatest examples I've ever seen in divine leadership. And that's why God honored him. And that's why God put him in a position to be a mouthpiece for him. Are you with me, Claire? And so I can't go much further here with this, but I got this statement here I'm just going to read. I got 1 minute and 38 seconds left. I'm going to read these few statements, and these are going to be the closing remarks for this class. All right? Listen closely now. Submission is absolute, while obedience may be a matter for consideration. Class, I hope you understand where we're going. Hope I said enough to get you to understand the difference between obedience and submission. Should the parents compel you to go, you go. But if they do not insist, then you are free not to go. God will deliver you from your environment if you as children maintain a right attitude. Well, that's in essence to this parent relationship, child relationship. You know, you never should be rebellious against your parent, but always should be submitted and submitted to God. You can't submit to no one no more than you submitted to God. So, class, you've been good, class. And I'll see you next week. God bless. Perfect time, man. Perfect. Perfect.